todos. Um primeiro cumprimento à Sra. Comissária Thyssen.
Good morning to everybody. A special thanks to Commissioner Marianne Thyssen for her goodwill to come and work closely together. As we all know, the Commissioner for Jobs Growth is with us today. Taking into account skills, liberal mobility, work mobility. And in view of all directives that can be adopted by the Commission, especially when in accordance to those areas that are their her competence. She was MEP, represent her party. She is a European Commissioner since 2014. This commission, the other commission that is with us today in this room, the Senate room, and I will give the floor to the Commissioner. And after her intervention, we'll have the opportunity to ask any questions or to touch upon any subject, and the Commissioner will respond. So with no more, I will thank Commissioner to be here. It's a great honor for us, and she has the floor. Thanks.
Desculpe, não fala português. So I have to do it in English. Yeah. Dear President, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to have this opportunity to address you on my first occasion, my first official visit to Portugal as a European Commissioner. It is my second attempt, however, you know about the strike of TAP a couple of weeks ago. When I took on that role last November, I joined a team of commissioners that have set themselves the goal of creating a Europe with a triple A social rating. This is an ambition, this is a commitment to improving everyday lives of Europe's people while strengthening its economy. Economic programs, economic progress, and social progress, they are intertwined and mutually reinforcing, and this is the core of the European social model and a vital component of our social market economy. In my view, a triple A social Europe requires fair and balanced growth that leads to the creation of decent quality jobs and protection for all throughout life cycles. I have put fairness at the core of my agenda for the coming years, but I believe that only by ensuring that social considerations are at the heart of the European policy and decision making that we can truly achieve fair and balanced economic growth. There are still, as you know, 23.5 million unemployed people across the European Union, half of them long term. More worrying still, 1 in 5 young people cannot find a job. This is the legacy of the worst financial and economic crisis that Europe has known in recent years. But Europe is slowly recovering and starting to grow again. For the European Union as a whole, there is a forecast to rise from 1.4 of GDP last year to 1.8 this year and accelerate further to 2.1 in 2016. So there is some recovery, but the growth is sluggish, and it has been helped, as you know, by external factors such as the low oil prices, the cheaper euro also, and low interest rates. There is no room for complacency, and all European member states must sign up to ambitious reforms if we want to recover and flourish again. Upward convergence, that's our ultimate goal. It requires addressing the disparities both between and within member states. Those internal disparities are more pronounced in countries worst hit by the crisis, like Portugal. Progress has been made. Unemployment here has decreased throughout 13 and 14, and employment has risen by 1.4 in 2014. And indeed, I commend Portugal for your efforts and in particular for your commitment to reforms such as the youth guarantee. It is a vital component in the battle against youth unemployment, which is still at an unacceptably high level. Portugal's overall unemployment rate is also still too high at 13.9, and well over a half of these people are long-term unemployed, so efforts must be intensified to avoid stagnation. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, dear members of Parliament, that the European semester of economic policy coordination is an effective instrument to foster convergence, but as I said, in order for us to achieve our goals, we must ensure that social considerations are cross-cutting all policy decisions. And that is why we have strengthened the participation of key stakeholders in member states, the national parliaments, and the national social partners and civil society. We must work closely and constructively to achieve much-needed reform. It's only through genuine dialogue with these partners that we will fully understand the needs and deliver effective reform programs. This strengthens ownership and also facilitates implementation. Dear members of Parliament, this year the Commission issued a set of recommendations for Portugal that cover key social and economic issues that require action in the next 12 to 18 months. One challenging area which requires Portugal's continued reform efforts is the labour market. Although Portugal has gained ground, the 2015 recommendations stress once again the need to align wages and productivity. This should help create the growth which is badly needed to absorb the persistently high unemployment. Portugal was also recommended to improve the efficiency of public employment services. While the country has built on the experience of Impulso Jovem to make the youth guarantee a success, employment services need to engage more with youth guarantee network partners. In particular, they need to reach out more to non-registered young people to get them on board. And the same is true for activation measures for all ages. The European Commission has played its part, substantially increasing advance payment for the Youth Employment Initiative. This was not easy to realize, but I'm happy and proud even that we could raise the pre-finance level from 1% to 30% for the Youth Employment Initiative. And you know that by doing that, over 46 million euro was made available upfront to Portugal just last month. By front-loading this finance, we are accelerating immediate support to young people who are trying desperately to find a good quality job. The Commission is very mindful of the long-term costs of unemployment to the economy, to society, and to people. A growing rate of poverty and social exclusion is simply not a price we can be prepared to pay. We see the Youth Guarantee Scheme as an investment that safeguards our future growth. All member states, including Portugal, must look to the future. We must adapt and improve skills if we are to meet labour market needs and help young people get quality jobs in the knowledge-based economy of tomorrow. Another area of particular concern to the Commission is Portugal's increasing levels of people at risk of poverty and social inclusion. And also here, the European Social Fund can help through support for active labour market policies and measures to foster social inclusion. Last December, we approved the Portuguese Operational Programme for Social Inclusion and Employment, which is worth nearly 28.4 million to the country's economy. Along with other European co-financed programs, this investment is essential to fostering growth in the coming years. Dear Members of Parliament, the European Commission is here, is there, to support Portugal to implement the recommendations addressed to it. We firmly believe that they will help secure recovery, sustain the Portuguese economy, and strengthen job creation. I thank you, and I am available for your questions.
Muito obrigado, Senhora Comissária. Senhora Comissária, enfim, traçou aqui em poucos minutos um cenário relativo, sobretudo, às questões do emprego, não apenas na Europa, mas também em Portugal, tendo destacado alguns aspectos que têm a ver com o nosso desemprego estrutural, desemprego de longa duração, algumas dificuldades que se têm vindo a manter nos últimos anos na área do desemprego jovem. Fez também algumas referências a aspectos estatísticos que têm a ver com o crescimento económico na União Europeia. E, enfim, o crescimento económico que está a acontecer, mas que não é, enfim, ainda o crescimento desejável e que tem sido sustentado ou apoiado por fatores extrínsecos. Teceu também alguns elogios aos esforços que Portugal tem vindo a fazer na área da criação de emprego, mas também se referiu a alguns riscos que Portugal enfrenta, designadamente os riscos de pobreza e exclusão social. E, portanto, enfim, são tudo aspectos que são relevantes para nós, independentemente da posição partidária em que nos encontramos, e referiu também a iniciativa Garantia Jovem e também todo o esforço que a Comissão Europeia tem vindo a fazer, quer no combate ao desemprego jovem, quer também na área que acabou de referir, da inclusão social, designadamente com a aprovação do Programa Operacional para a Inclusão Social no quadro do 2020 em Portugal. Eu irei começar por dar a palavra ao Grupo Parlamentar do PSD, ao Sr. Deputado Pedro Roque, e, portanto, tem a palavra para, enfim, fazer as questões que entender à Sra. Comissária.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Começo por cumprimentar a Sra. Comissária Thyssen, em nome do Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Social Democrata, que, como sabe, é o partido maioritário no Parlamento Português e um dos dois partidos que constituem a coligação governamental e que, ao longo desta legislatura, que irá conhecer em breve o seu termo, tem sido o principal responsável pela condução das políticas públicas num quadro de grande dificuldade em virtude de Portugal ter, nos primeiros três anos do mandato deste Governo e deste Parlamento, estado sob a intervenção de um programa de assistência económica e financeira, de um resgate económico, do qual, felizmente, soube sair da melhor forma possível. Sem embargo, este foi um período difícil do ponto de vista económico e social para Portugal. Em conjunto com as dificuldades que a economia portuguesa teve e que motivaram esse mesmo resgate, a crise europeia, que foi generalizada ao continente europeu e à União Europeia, afetou sobremaneira o nosso país e essa tua tradução mais clara do ponto de vista económico foi uma contração do nosso PIB, mas do ponto de vista social traduziu-se por um aumento exponencial do desemprego que atingiu níveis a que o nosso país não estava habituado, mas que felizmente tem vindo, embora de forma mais lenta daquela que gostaríamos, tem vindo a recuperar. Neste momento estamos com uma taxa de desemprego e com uma taxa de emprego em tudo semelhantes àquelas com que iniciámos o mandato e com que se iniciou o próprio programa de assistência económica e financeira. Mas foram períodos difíceis, de enormes dificuldades sociais, os portugueses souberam enfrentar, eu diria, com estoicismo as dificuldades e, de alguma maneira, a condução política também não foi alheia a esse esforço no sentido de motivar e de apontar para um rumo que é responsável pelo facto de agora Portugal, do ponto de vista económico, apresentar um crescimento económico que irá conhecer um valor ainda mais elevado no corrente ano, uma baixa do déficit orçamental, mas sobretudo, eu diria, uma redução dos índices de desemprego, seja do desemprego em geral, seja do desemprego jovem em particular. Aqui foi importante a questão, neste período de ajustamento, o papel, eu creio que fez alguma diferença relativamente a outros países sob resgate económico e financeiro. O papel dos parceiros sociais e da concertação social num quadro de responsabilização coletiva, a par com o Governo, quer do lado empresarial, quer do lado sindical, maiormente através da Central Sindical UGT, no sentido de criar um quadro de paz social mínima que permitiu também, deste modo, vencer as grandes dificuldades. É claro que a senhora comissária tentou vir a Portugal numa altura em que havia uma greve da TAP, hoje chegou como outra greve do metropolitano, digamos que não traduz propriamente aquilo que foi o clima de paz social que tem sido, felizmente, a regra no nosso país. E, portanto, a primeira questão que eu gostaria de colocar é exatamente relativamente à questão dos parceiros sociais. Qual é o papel que prevê que os parceiros sociais possam vir a desempenhar, que já desempenham naturalmente, mas no futuro, no reforço desta ligação virtuosa entre o crescimento económico, por um lado, e o aumento dos níveis de bem-estar e de emprego da população europeia? A segunda questão tem a ver com a Youth Guarantee, ou, portanto, a garantia jovem, e é algo que o nosso país se empenhou desde o seu início. Eu recordo, enfim, também tive responsabilidades governamentais nesta área, mas recordo-me de conselhos europeus em que Portugal esteve na linha da frente, exatamente na implementação desta garantia jovem, também fruto de uma experiência que tivemos do chamado Impulso Jovem, a que aliás fez a referência, e que de alguma maneira permitiu que a muitos jovens fosse dado algum tipo de garantia que, ao terminarem os estudos, teriam algum tipo de colocação ou de continuação de estudos, ou de prosseguimento, ou um estágio profissional, ou também formação profissional. E, portanto, o que é que a senhora Comissária prevê em termos da garantia jovem, como é que ela pode dar resposta cabal àqueles que são os problemas de uma população muito específica e que, tradicionalmente, tem, em todos os países, mesmo naqueles países em que as taxas de desemprego são mais baixas, tem uma expressão sempre mais elevada, mais ou menos cerca do dobro daquilo que é a taxa de desemprego para a população normal. Por último, a questão, que é uma questão que, digamos, que está fortemente relacionada e que é a questão dos skills, das competências e, sobretudo, a nível das competências dos jovens. Isto é, aquilo que se verifica na Europa, mas sobretudo em Portugal, é que verificamos que, apesar do desemprego elevado, apesar do desemprego juvenil ser ainda mais elevado, a taxa de desemprego juvenil ser ainda mais elevada, muitas vezes, e apesar de uma forte qualificação, eu diria académica, da população portuguesa, de facto estamos neste momento perante a geração mais qualificada que o nosso país jamais teve, verifica-se que muitas vezes determinadas empresas necessitam de determinados perfis profissionais e, pura e simplesmente, não existe capacidade de resposta, digamos, a nível da oferta ou da procura de trabalho, que procure adequar-se a essa oferta. Portanto, estamos aqui perante uma espécie de mismatch, usando a expressão inglesa, entre aquela que é a necessidade de qualificação técnica de muitas empresas e, por outro lado, aquela que foi a formação, a educação que foi oferecida aos jovens e que muitas vezes não é compatível com essa mesma necessidade das empresas. E, portanto, enfim, em termos nacionais, procura de alguma maneira a implementação progressiva de um sistema dual, à semelhança daquilo que existe em diversos países europeus, onde, aliás, as taxas de desemprego são, curiosamente ou talvez não, das mais baixas que existem a nível europeu e onde as economias, paralelamente, são das mais competitivas, não só a nível europeu, mas como também no panorama mundial. E, portanto, o que é que a Comissão prevê em termos gerais para a União Europeia para a implementação deste sistema dual de formação e educação? Por último, também dizer que foi feito um esforço muito grande e em conjunto com os parceiros sociais relativamente às políticas ativas de emprego. E se as políticas ativas de emprego neste momento em Portugal funcionam de uma maneira muito eficaz,
é óbvio que é mérito do Governo, mas é também mérito, digamos, desta interligação que se soube fazer, virtuosa, eu diria, entre o Governo e os parceiros sociais de uma forma tripartida. Eles foram responsáveis pelas reformas e pelo facto dessas reformas nas políticas ativas de emprego fazerem com que as mesmas cheguem a mais gente quando ainda temos um nível de desemprego que é, consideramos, bastante elevado. Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado Pedro Roque. Eu vou dar a palavra à Sra. Comissária para responder. Sra. Comissária, tem a palavra.
Thank you very much. First of all, what I want to tell you is that I am really admiring the Portuguese people and also the people that take responsibility, political responsibility, for taking people through the crisis, because you were one of the member states that were hardest hit by the crisis. And I think you were very courageous through all this period, and I'm happy with you that the adjustment program finished and that you can go back to normal paths. I want also to congratulate you for the way you use the social funds. You mentioned certain social funds also. And what I learned about Portugal is that you are one of the best of the member states that make best use of it, and with the lowest error rate. So also this I want to say also this, because I think that it's good that people know that. Poverty raised, there is still a big unemployment problem, as in other member states. It's not only in Portugal, but it is especially also the case here. And you rightly said that to cope with that, to challenge that, to address that, that we need all the people on board. We have to do it with social partners, we have to do it with everyone, we have to do it with education. And I think, what can we do? The best thing to address poverty is you can have systems of redistribution, of course, but on the long term, the best thing to fight against poverty is to have jobs for the people. Huh? That's why we are promoting active labor market policies. We say people must be motivated, activated, they must be protected, of course, when they need protection, but they must be protected in such a way that they are also motivated if they can, if they have the talents, if there is a possibility to go back into a job. And then you come to the skills mismatch, and this is a problem which we see here, which we see in the whole European Union. We have 23 million unemployed people in Europe, but we also have 2 million unfilled vacancies. And we see in every member state where I come, there is this mismatch. So there is a problem about skills, and we have to take care about that. And that's why we in the Commission attach such a great importance to vocational education and training. President Juncker, when he started this commission and when he was dividing the portfolios, he specifically therefore said vocational education and training, we don't put it again in the portfolio of education. It is so important for labor, for employment, for the labor market, that this has to go back to the portfolio, to the director general, which is competent for labor, employment, and social affairs. And what we are doing is, well, we plan a skills package for the beginning of next year. What we know already is that this mismatch of skills, of course, it's there, so we have to address this. But what we know is that in the future, what we need to have people employed, what the labor market needs, is very well skilled technicians. So we have not enough people that have vocation, education and training. And we want to improve this, because we know that in the future, 45 to 48% of the people needed on the labor market need this kind of skills. So we want to promote it, we want to improve the image of it, we want to have good quality vocational education and training, and this is what we are preparing to do so. And what we are doing now already is that we, instead of making new papers and communications from the Commission and a lot of words, we try to have action. And that's we why we want to give a boost to the alliance for apprenticeship we have. This is one of the possibilities of dual learning. There are other formulas, of course, but what we see is that young people that have vocational education and training, that have the chance to have a kind of work-based learning, dual learning, alternated learning, apprenticeships or other formulas, that they have the biggest chance to have an employment. So we are really promoting this, and that was the reason also why last week in Riga, or in the beginning of this week, it was on Monday, that we give a new boost to that Alliance for Apprenticeships, and we encourage member states to come on board of this alliance, and I can invite Portugal to participate also, because Portugal has not yet signed up for that. And we also encourage enterprises to do so. First of all, big enterprises, because they often take the whole chain with them. And last week I was happy to see that in Riga they signed up for more than 40,000 new apprenticeship places in Europe, and it's still coming up. So we are promoting that because it's a good formula. We know, we realize that vocational education and training is very important, that we need more people there, that we must organize it and stimulate member states to have a quality vocational education and training, and that it must be more attractive. And to have a good content and a good outcome of the studies, what's important is that, first of all, there is a good contact between the real economy and the education sector, between enterprises and the education sector. Because to know what skills are needed, I think it's good to talk with each other. So those links can be improved in all Europe, and that's what we are stimulating. And secondly, to make vocational education and training more attractive, what's also very important is that this kind of training gives also opening to higher education, so that it's becoming attractive not only for the young people that want to go in this direction, but also for their parents that normally prefer to send them to universities. And so they must know that when their children go to a vocational education path, that they have also a future, a nice future in front of them, and that they can go to higher education after that. And social partners, you mentioned social partners. I think also in developing this, in looking, especially when you have apprenticeships and dual learning, it's good to have them both on board to see that people that are in this filière, they have a good protection, but to take care also of the content of the learning, because, of course, this is also very important. Thank you.
Obrigado, Sr. Comissário.
Thanks, Commissioner. The Social Party. We have the floor. Thanks, President. Good morning to all. Good morning, Commissioner. Welcome to our Parliament. I would like to ask two questions. First, employment, unemployment. Second, the professional training. It's channel two. Channel two. It's all right? The president says that I didn't know what was the Alentejano accent. It's part of the south of Portugal. Good morning. I was trying to say that I have two set of questions that I would ask. Firstly, unemployment. And secondly, touching upon the qualification of young and adults, namely when it came to certification of skills and the mobility that those systems allow. When it comes to employment, unemployment, the Commission has said that we can see that we are advancing in terms of combating unemployment, and we can see that at statistical level, knowing, nevertheless, that we can say we are here. You know that you come to have some more information about our country. We know, of course, all statistical elements, and I will add some elements in order to help your work and for you to know better Portuguese reality. We have an employment according to what we said, but knowing that, we can see that there is lots of people that are not working, and there is 6 sets of people that are not part of those statistics that leads to know better the level of unemployment. Firstly, those that are not working and don't have any social support because they're out of the conditions that allow them to have that kind of help. Unemployed people that have nothing. Many of those are not seen in statistical terms and are not considered as being unemployed. And there we can see people that are not even in unemployment conditions. Some have, there's a very long time period of time they are in unemployment. They are totally discouraged. They are not even trying to get any job. They are not part of any statistic. Another group, about 400,000 Portuguese, are people that are out of the country, went away, immigrate. They went to the other countries in the European Union, Africa, United States, others. Some are well skilled and they didn't find any job in Portugal. They had to go out. They had to immigrate. Same level that we could see in the 60s. And those are not part of statistics. There's lots of people that are working in Portugal, but are with wages, very low wages. So we can consider that they could be seen as unemployed people because their salaries are too low, their wages are much too low. And lastly, we have thousands of young people that are part of training, for professional training. Technically, they are considered as being unemployed people, but when they come to the training programs, statistically, they are not considered as unemployed people. It's, of course, this is very good because there is it gives the people the possibility of improving their skills and acquiring other skills, but they are still in somehow they are, we can consider them as being unemployed people. We should consider the whole of these people, and we think that we have not 11 something unemployed people, but it should be 20% instead. And we would like you to consider this and include all those data in your work. Another set of questions. As we well know, Commissioner, between 2005 and 2011, we had a public system of certification of skills at academic level and the professional level. And this was Iniciativa Novas Oportunidades. And this public policy led to 400 centers of training that we could see in different conditions, schools, foundations, corporations, and it network with all had the possibility of participation, allowed 1 million of Portuguese people to come back to formal professional training and then recognizing their skills in non-formal ways and lifelong terms. People, they didn't go to school or to professional training, and those had the possibility of some kind of recognition. They came back to school somehow. since 2011, with this new government, this is not existing anymore. So there is a minimum level now that didn't allow those people with no public training and to have be recognized, so they don't have any possibility of coming back to any kind of professional training. And this had great consequences to our country, and we'd like to know what you think about this. And it was a kind of discontinuity regarding one of those public policies that was well recognized at international level, both by Commission, by OECD and others. That was a kind of models followed by other countries that think in terms of certification of skills that allowed people to be publicly recognized. I would like to know what you think about those two set of questions that I touched upon. And of course, I thank you too for your coming here. Thank you, Commissioner.
Very much. Well, on your first question, statistics are statistics, and we know, especially on when we look at the people at risk of poverty, that in all Europe those statistics are not yet perfect, and they can be improved. So I think we have to work on that all together. It's not only in Portugal; it's for the whole system. But the most important, I think, is the people behind the statistics and behind the figures. And you mentioned the people that are not even registered, that are long-term unemployed but not registered, that are farthest away from the labor market. And what I can tell you is that we are developing for the moment, like we did with the Youth Guarantee Initiative, we are developing a similar system, if I may say, for long-term unemployed people, for those farthest away from the labor market, those who risk to be to stay behind, let me say. What we want to do is a long-term unemployment initiative where we will promote member states to offer integrated services contracts to those people. That because we know that for many people it is not just bring a job to the man or the woman or vice versa, but there need to be done more. Sometimes there is a problem with childcare, with health, with mental problems, transport. It can be problems of many kinds. And what we want to have is personal contracts where the services are working on an integrated base and where the people are guided personally. And I think this can be a good formula for many people to come back to the labor market, especially for many people that you mentioned. You also said, many people left Portugal. So there is a lot of immigration within and without Europe. What we are preparing in Europe is, in Brussels for the moment, for the end of the year, is a mobility package where we will reconsider or look what's going on in Europe, how the flows are going, who is going where, what are the hosting countries, the receiving countries, what's happening, but intra-European. Huh? And to see the legislation, to look at the legislation that behind social security coordination and also the posting of workers, and to see whether we can improve things there. And we will take on board all the sensitivities and all the problems that we know from the member states, and it would be interesting for me also to hear your vision on that, if you have ideas on that. And then on the training, vocational education and training, and especially also recognition of informal learning skills, competences people have, this is, I don't know exactly how the Portuguese system works on this, but I think in general, it is useful to recognize all kinds of skills and competences we have. And at European level, we also discussed that again, also Monday in Riga, in a meeting with ministers and with people from the social partners and from the educational world. And this is not so easily be done, but I think it's important to look further how we can recognize, certificate, give certificates to people that have skills, but that gain them in an informal or a non-formal way. So it's an exercise that that I think is worthwhile to continue, and where member states can learn from each other.
Obrigado, Sra. Comissária.
Thanks, Commissioner. And now the floor to Mr. Sanzigert.
On a été collègues au Parlement européen aux années 2004-2009 au PPE, et donc je vous salue. Et maintenant, je passe en portugais pour poser la question. Muito obrigado, Sra. Comissária.
Thanks, Commissioner. It seems to me that the great challenge that we have in social and economic terms, it's unemployment and employment. At a national level, knowing that there is some improvements, the situation is improved, has improved, but is still worrying. It says worrying situation. There is lots of work to be done, and we know that it's at the same time an European problem. My question touches upon mobility in the context of Europe, Union, European Union. We Dutch mentioned a mobility package, and we think that when it comes to internal migration, the migrants have to be well received in the hosting countries. For instance, improving their language skills. For instance, if a Portuguese wants to go to Finland, Portuguese people usually don't speak Finnish, so they will face some difficulties, and vice versa. If a Finnish wants to come to Portugal, well, I would like to see in that package, mobility package, to have all the technical facilities and some help to improve language skills, in order to for the migrants to be well received, that it will be easy for him to communicate. Another area where I had some responsibilities at a European level, European Parliament, and that can be important. And what I evaluate was not very positive and had no follow-up. The cooperation between different employment departments at between a kind of network, and for my colleagues to understand it better, there is more and more shared employment markets between France and Germany, between France and Belgium or others. It's people that go back and forth. And one of the recommendations would be that we try to improve the that kind of partnership, because they are shared marketplaces and employment. It's not, they are not migrants. They work in one country and they live in the other neighboring country. And this could be considered as very dynamic situation, for instance, when it comes to Portugal and Spain. In 2003, there's only one that kind of partnership between Minho and Galiza. Minho on Portugal side and Galiza on Spanish side. And there's, after all these years, there's only one of these partnership, and sometimes it's difficult. And when we can think in that kind of shared markets, for instance, between Alentejo and Extremadura, between Beira and Castilla, or Trás-os-Montes and others, well, all the Portuguese borders and Spain, all these regions have some unemployment problems, both on Portuguese side and Spanish side. So we could consider this kind of partnership trying to develop this kind of shared markets, and that could help the countries to launch a series of initiatives to improve their statistics and to help all the citizens. And the same could be applied in other countries. For instance, when we think of Denmark or France and Spain, or in Irun or south, we see that there is lots of people coming back and forth, and that those borders don't have that kind of partnership. So I would like to see a commission not rethink about this kind of possibility to try to develop these units of specific mobility, people that work in other countries but are not migrants, trying to develop this kind of shared markets, we can say so. Thank you, Commission, you have the floor.
Obrigada. On the mobility package, we call it a package because we will have more things in. First of all, what I want to say is that when we will deal with this package, that we start from the point that there is free movement of citizens and of workers, so we stick to the principles of the treaty. Huh? For some, it's a very sensitive item, but this is part, it's one of the pillars of the internal market, freedom of movement of people, but also freedom of providing services. So we stick to that because it brought us a lot of good things, a lot of growth and employment. Huh? What we want to do is to make it happen in a fair way and in a way that is also perceived as being fair. And that's the reason why we are looking very closely at the reality, at what's going on in reality, and at our regulation and directive that we have for the moment. Are we going to take language skills as a separate package in this mobility package? I don't think so. But of course, with all the funds we have available, and that can support language learning and exchange of people to learn languages, to have experience in other member states, of course we will continue to facilitate that and to stimulate member states to use those funds. I think this is in the same spirit if we say we want to facilitate mobility because it is an option for people in Europe, not an obligation, it is an option. So we want to use funds we have to stimulate and to create an environment which makes it possible on the ground. Then on the trans-border or cross-border cooperation, I think that, where do we see Europe? It's not only when we look at the whole picture. I often says the little laboratories, they are on the frontiers, on the borders of member states where regions and member states work together. And we see that in many places in Europe. We have, for instance, where I live, I'm from Belgium, we have a EU region, we call it, and this is a piece of Flanders, a piece of Wallonia, a piece of Germany, and a piece of the Netherlands that work together because they are closely linked and they organize themselves. And I think this is something we have to support. We do it already, and we continue to do so. But the initiative there has to be taken by the regions or the member states themselves. If they see opportunities there and they make agreements, they can count on our support, also financial support, to make it happen on the ground. So if Minho and Galicia think that they can deepen their collaboration, their cooperation, that they can develop certain things together, I think it's good to look at the structural funds, structural and investment funds, to see what's possible, because in the regional funds, there are possibilities that stimulate that, that can support you in developing that, and I think it's a good idea in border regions.
Muito obrigado, Senhora Comissária. Passamos nesta...
Thanks, Commissioner. And now the Communist Party, Mrs. Carla Cruz. Thanks, President. I'll thank the President. I thank the parliamentarian that represents other parties, and I thank Commissioner. When we had the floor and at different occasions, we heard some words about unemployment. We know that it was said that unemployment in Portugal is far bigger than what the statistics say. If we add all unemployments that are not subject of any support, if we add all unemployment that are not part of statistics, official statistics, we come to a level of unemployment that is more than 1,200,000 Portuguese people that don't have any kind of employment or support. What is important to be said is all those people that don't have any right, essential right to employment, protected employment, suffer the consequences of political options of the European Union and the political ideas of our government. All those people have no social protection. Data are official. Data come from the Ministry of Solidarity and Social Security, and we can see that there is less and less unemployment that have any kind of social protection. And all those people have less and less support. And the data are not coming from the Communist Party, but from official sources. We think that all this is the consequence of the political choices of the European Union attacking. Commissioner, you touched upon the importance of public services, of protection, but what we can see is goes the opposite way. Public administration is weaker and weaker. Social function of the state and protection are weaker and weaker. As we said, Commissioner, we would like to know, or as you know, there is data about poverty in Portugal. And what you can see from official sources is that more than 20% of Portuguese people are poor or very near to poverty. So we should say is that in all this, one in three is a child very near a poverty or poverty, material privation. They are stricken by this. And the political choices are to have less and less support given to that kind of child stricken by poverty. There is less and less help. There is less and less children having protection measures, social protection measures. Commissioner, you said that when it comes to combat poverty, it's important to think of employment creation. We totally agree. It's only with that kind of political choices, trying to create jobs with dignity, that we come to combat effectively poverty. But what we can say that all measures that try to combat poverty, unemployment, namely when it comes to job creation, is what we can see is that it's precarious jobs and jobs that are not long-lasting. We can go on with that kind of measures, because there are measures that put at risk all peoples, because the country itself will suffer much more than what it suffers nowadays. And we think, Commissioner, this is closely linked to measures and decisions that are closely linked to semester, European semester. And only we go away of these instruments and choices, we will have the possibility to have a Europe with rights, with progress and development. Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Flouflon.
Madam, for this question and for your intervention also. Let me explain you how we build our policy in Europe and how we come to conclusions and country-specific recommendations and so for different member states. On which basis are we working? We say what we continue what the previous commission was doing, and that was fiscal responsibility and structural reform. Fiscal responsibility, budgetary responsibility. Why? Because we cannot take the burden. We cannot put the burden in the backpack of the next generation. And we don't want financial instability again, because we know what this brings us. So fiscal responsibility is important, and we have to do what we can step by step in all the member states to improve the budgetary situation and the debt situation. As I told you, we have to be solidar also with the next generation, not only with our own generation. A second strand is structural reforms, what's needed, because if we don't reform, if we want to prosper and if we want to flourish again, we need reforms. Also on the labor market, and you said precarious contracts, that's a problem, especially when people stays in this kind of contracts, if they are a step up to a normal labor situation, that it can be, then it's okay. But what we are fighting against also, and what we are recommending to member states, is to do something against the segmentation of the labor market. And I think also here in Portugal, a lot has been done so far. That's for structural reforms. What we also do there is let me go to the third strand. I think that is more logic. So fiscal responsibility, structural reforms also on the labor market, but on top of that, and this is new in this commission, because we know that we have a lack of investments, we built a triangle, let me say, and we put something on top, and that is investments. We want to promote investments. And this is what was asked for since a couple of years, but we know that public finances are not there to do all the investments that are needed. And what we see is that there is a lot of sleeping capital in Europe and in the whole world that's not invested in the real economy. So that's why we created, or why we decided in the Commission to propose an investment fund, not only an investment fund, but also to start the work to foster a climate that is attractive for investors. And by doing this, we hope that, and we think that we can have investments in the coming 3 years of more than 300 billion. And this will help the economy start growing together, start growing faster, and this will create more than 1 million employments. It is that. It's not solving the whole problem, but it is to bring trust again for the investors, to the investors, that we are doing this, and we hope it can work as a kind of a snowball. So this is the triangle according to which we work. We do that, wherefore? Because we want growth and we want employment. Jobs, employment and fairness, that is in the heart of our mission. And to do that, we need to work on those three strands. It's not always short term that we can work. We also have to look at the midterm and the longer term prospects. A second thing is that we want to have modernization of social protection systems. And many people think modernization, it means to diminish the protection of the people. This is of course not the case. What has to be done is to protect people through their lives when they need it, but also to support them and to activate them. And this is also a strength on which we are working. And what we also said with this commission is that we see now that a lot was asked of the people, and a lot will be asked. If we ask for structural reforms, we ask more flexibility on the labor market. People will have to be more flexible in the future, but we cannot only ask that for the people. We want that people in Europe also see that the Commission is there to protect them too. So what we are developing, we had an orientation debate on this in the college already, and we are developing that further, is that we want to have more convergence again in Europe between member states and within member states. We want that convergence is going upwards, not downwards. And we want to set a kind of a social minimum floor for rights that protects the people. And this is something we are going to develop with the member states together. I think we can say now we have the hardest part of the crisis is behind us. Everything is growing again, slowly, too slowly still, but we have to use the momentum to make it going better. And we do what we can in Europe to have both sides on board. Economic growth, because it's necessary if we want jobs, if we want a creation of sustainable jobs, if we want sustainable social protection systems, social security systems, we need growth and we need jobs. On the other hand, we say we have economic progress, but we also want to see social progress, because we know that within a social market economy, these are the two things that are mutually reinforcing. We believe in that. That's in the heart of the European social model, and we want to continue to work on that and to deliver.
Muito obrigado, Sra. Comissária. Nós vamos...
Thanks, Commissioner. We come to an end of our works. Mr. Rodrigues has 1 minute, and then Mr. Costa Neves will have the final say. 1 minute, two questions. You said that Portugal went through structural reforms already, and much has been said in terms of market, liberal market. What we should done to adapt ourselves to everything that has been done? What are the consequences of the Juncker plan? We agree in terms of society and the whole of Europe. When do you think that the consequences will come? And when you think of in the social impact when it comes to the implementation of all measures? The Commission, you have the floor.
The Juncker plan, as far as concerns the investment fund, it has been voted now in the Parliament, and I think that we will have an agreement, Parliament and Council, within a couple of days. It's around now that it's happening, and it can start to be operational from September on. But this may not prevent people that want to invest to take already contact with the European Investment Bank to launch projects and to introduce things, because they have some facilities that they can use already now. And what we hope, what is the objective, is that it can create extra employment in the coming years. So, of course, the investment starts, we have to build up. Huh? But the prospects are that it brings us 1.3 million new jobs. These are not our figures. These are figures that are be confirmed by the International Labour Organization of Geneva. And even more, they say, under certain conditions, it can bring more jobs. Yeah? So we strongly believe that this can help. But first of all, it helps to have real investments on the ground. But secondly, we hope that by this Juncker plan, that takes the first risk for the investments, for the investors, that we can raise trust again. And that when the others see that there is again an investment engine going on, that we can be attractive again for investors, not only with European sleeping money, but also money from abroad, if they want to come.
Muito obrigado. O deputado Carlos Costa Neves irá encerrar a sessão.
Mr. Costa Neves, to conclude our morning, I would like to thank Commissioner Thyssen. All information and all you said are very important. We have a great challenge faced by European Union when it comes to employment. We know that the success of European project has to do with all this, including mobility, that is part of the creation of the European Union. The European Union wouldn't be the European Union without mobility. It's essential. We share with the European Union some projects, and some powers and means. So I think that it's very important your coming to our national parliament. This close relationship between the European Commission and national parliaments is something that in our Commission think that has to be cherished, that allows us to reinforce the European project. We thank you again for your coming to Portugal, knowing it's a short visit, but you gave thoughts to our debates. I would like something more personal. It was very pleasant for me to see Marianne Thyssen, dear colleague. We shared some moments at the European Parliament, working in different commissions, but we tried to share our thoughts. And so I had the possibility of knowing closely the competence and personal and political thoughts of Commissioner Marianne Thyssen. Again, thank you for your coming. Commissioner, if you want to take the floor.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just I want to tell you what I'm going to do further today, because I will see the social partners. I visited this morning the Lisbon Hotel School, and I must say it was amazing for me. It was very impressive to see how they organize their training and their education. I will go to the Gulbenkian Foundation this afternoon, where there is where I can participate in the closing session of a two-day cycle on social innovation. I have a working lunch with ministers, and I will also project CINEL, so to see a little bit how things work in practice. But I want to thank you specifically, because I think it's interesting to listen to your views, to your questions. Only hearing already your questions gave me a good impression of what's going on in Portugal and how it's going here. And what I want to tell you is that the Commission is there to support the Member States. Sometimes in country-specific recommendations, you think that we know everything better and so on. We just make objective analysis. We see points where it can be, where it can go better and so on. We do that for all the Member States. So it's not only in Portugal, it's for all the Member States. And we know it's not that easy always to solve the problems, but we are there to give you support there where we are allowed to, there where we can use our European funds to. And I wish you really all the best. Thank you very much.
A sessão está encerrada. Muito obrigado a todas e todos.